I have a dream.
Love and care. We have
Robinson gets the first hit.
Usain Bolt spreading.
Rid of all these buttons and just make a giant screen.
Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies out there in the room. We want to celebrate you today. Our Breathe team and our First Impression team have been working hard this week to honor you and spoil you with some surprises on the way in. You got your orange juice, right? Got your chocolates, all right? Any of you guys out there trying to sneak stuff? I got my eye on you. That's all right. But we just want to honor you today, and not just the moms with kids that share their last name, but every remarkable woman that's here today. And, you know, I hear a lot of women saying, what is Breathe? I hear about Breathe, but I have no idea what Breathe is. And so I thought, since I've got the microphone for a few minutes, I would just go ahead and tell you what Breathe is. So Breathe was designed out of a desire to see women connected and inspired and encouraged here at South Bay Church. And so we do that a few different ways that I wanted to let you know about. One is that we have a blog, and we update that blog a couple times a week with fresh content designed specifically to encourage you. And when you came in on the sachet of chocolates that you got, there's a little card in there with our website on there. I hope you'll come by the blog, you'll subscribe to it, and just enjoy all of that encouraging content that we're putting out there for you. Also, we do this connection through our women's life groups that we offer at South Bay Church. So every semester, we've got women meeting together to grow together in friendship and in faith. And this summer, we're actually combining those two things. So we're going to do a reading plan on the blog, and we're going to have some women's life groups that are discussing the content of that reading plan. And today's the first day that you can get information about those life groups that are going to be coming up. So swing by the Breathe table out here in the lobby. You can find out about those life groups. You can buy a really awesome Breathe tank, and just get some more information about Breathe. I hope you will join our tribe of women here at South Bay Church and just be inspired and encouraged by all that we're offering you together. Now, I think it's really interesting as we consider today Mother's Day, and we celebrate that and celebrate moms, just the profound impact that a mom has on all of our lives, whether for good or for bad. I think for women, the impact is even more significant, because from the time we are a little girl, we are looking up to our mom at her example, and we're trying to decide, do I like that example? Do I want to be like that example? And then we start thinking about motherhood for ourselves in a different light, do I want to have kids? And when do I want to have kids? And then what if I can't have kids? And then what do I do with all of these kids? That's kind of the season that I'm at right now. And so motherhood, in all of its different facets, affects every single woman on planet Earth. And that's why today at South Bay, I like to celebrate all of our remarkable women. And I like to just emphasize the fact that if you are a woman, God has given you an incredible gift of influence. And so today at South Bay, we celebrate you. Can we just give it up for all the women at South Bay Church one more time? Now today, I just think it's the perfect day on Mother's Day to kick off this remarkable message series, because this whole message series is about people of influence. And we're going to be looking specifically at people who have left their mark on the pages of history. I think all of us want to live a life of influence. Wouldn't you agree with that? Like nobody wants their life to be unimportant, or like nobody's going to miss me when I'm gone. Like nobody wants to think that. And so we all want to be remarkable in some way. That's why we like reading books and watching movies about real people that made a real difference. And so when we look at these remarkable lives, we have to imagine what goes into making a remarkable life. A lot of us spend a lot of time trying to be remarkable. We will build our platforms. We will look for the next big thing to be a part of. We will Google search our name to see how famous we are. Anybody want to admit to Google searching your name? Come on, you know you've done it. We all have. So, you know, we try to be remarkable, but I think one thing that we're going to learn through this message series is that the making of a remarkable life is much different than the formula our culture is trying to feed us. These people that we're going to be looking at, none of them had an Instagram account where they're trying to build their platform. Nobody set out to become famous. They just lived a life that was worth writing about, and their life became their content. So I'm really excited about this message series. And today, before I tell you who my remarkable person is, I thought it'd be more fun if I read you a little biographical sketch and you could guess. So, you guys ready? A little audience participation, here we go. By physical stature, there was not much to her. 4'10", less than 100 pounds. By social pedigree, she was even less impressive. Born in obscurity to an Albanian family. Her father died when she was 8 years old, after which her mother struggled to support her financially. She had a nondescript education, no connections to powerful people. She remained single her whole life. But from the mid-80s to her death in 1997, she was widely considered the most influential woman on planet Earth. Popes, presidents, and prime ministers stood in line to get an hour of her time. She won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. Who was she? Mother Teresa. Over the last 9 months, Mother Teresa has become a dear friend and mentor to me. At one point, I think Andy was a little bit scared that I might start wearing a white sari with blue stripes in all my attempts to become more like her. And if you knew how much truth there was in that statement, you might think it was even funnier. But Mother Teresa, her journey and her walk with God began at a young age. By the age of 12, she started feeling God pulling on her heart, drawing him to herself. By the age of 18, she was ready to begin her missionary journey and her life as a nun. Do we have any middle school or high school students in the room today? Just raise your hand at all three of our campuses. Yeah, there's a bunch of you guys in here. Isn't it amazing to think that she was your age when God started to pull on her heart? You are not too young for God to begin a beautiful work in your life. By the time she was 18, she hugged her mom and her sister goodbye. It was the last time she would ever see them. She set sail to India, where she would live the rest of her life. She actually changed her citizenship to become Indian legally. And she, there in India, began to learn the native languages of Hindi and Bengali. And she began teaching school at a convent school called Laredo. And so for the next 19 years of her life, that's a long time, she was a school teacher. A lot of people don't realize that about her. She lived as a school teacher for 19 years, and she loved her work. She served faithfully at her work. You know, a lot of times we think about these amazing things that she did with her life, but we don't realize the way that it started was in faithfulness at a job. Faithfulness day in and day out. I know a lot of you, you're working jobs day in and day out. You're an engineer, you're a school teacher, you're an electrician, you're a stay-at-home mom, and it's that faithfulness that prepares us for what we don't even know is just around the corner. Then, on September 10th, 1946, Mother Teresa took a long train ride that would change the rest of her life. On that train ride, Mother Teresa had some type of very real encounter with God, a supernatural encounter. And this is the day that the sisters that are in the Missionaries of Charity, they celebrate this day every year as Inspiration Day. Because on that train ride, something happened where Jesus made it very clear to Mother Teresa that she was to change the direction of her life a little bit. She never talked extensively about what actually transpired on that train ride because she said it was so personal and intimate to her that it was her hidden treasure. But somehow Jesus made it clear that she was to quit her job as a teacher, she was to leave the Loreto convent and everything that was familiar to her and begin a life of serving the poor, to go and aid the unwanted, the unloved, and the uncared for. And not only was she to aid them, but she was to live among them and in many ways become like them. Now, the thing that is most amazing about this whole experience is Mother Teresa's response to it. I mean, think about it for a second. If God showed up to you later today and said, I want you to quit your job and to leave everything that's familiar, and I want you to go serve the poorest of the poor. And not only do I want you to serve them, I actually want you to move there and live among them, and in many ways become like them, to eat a very limited diet, to live with very simple accommodations. How do you think you would respond to that? I mean, do you think you would just right away be like, absolutely not, that is not gonna happen? Or maybe you'd be a little bit more gracious and you'd say, well, God, I know you're the one that's telling me this, but I think I'm going to need to pray about this a little bit longer. I don't know. Not Mother Teresa. She gave her wholehearted yes without delay to this very difficult call on her life. And she just felt so honored, so unworthy that God would even take note of her. So when she... One thing that is significant to note about her that gives kind of light to her decision to say yes was in her younger years, Mother Teresa had made a few private vows to God that guided her life. One of the things that she promised God was that she would refuse him nothing. No matter what he asked of her, her answer would be yes. No matter the call, no matter the sacrifice, she had written over a blank check to God and said, "You have all of me." The other private vow that she made was that she would do his bidding without delay. So not only would she do what he asked of her, but that she would do it immediately. I think about that for myself, my own life, and all the different promptings that God has put on my heart. How am I responding to those? Do I immediately say yes? Do I do his bidding without delay? What has God put on your heart? Like, maybe he's prompted you to lead a life group, or to start tithing, or to break up with your boyfriend, or to speak to someone at work. And are we responding to those promptings without delay? That was Mother Teresa's philosophy for life. When she got back from that long train ride, she was ready to begin the work immediately. So she met with her spiritual advisors, and she thought, hey, I'm going to be starting this like tomorrow. But what happened was there was a long delay, over 2 years of a delay, because it took time for her to talk to her spiritual advisors and to convince them and for them to realize, no, this really is from God. God really did call Mother Teresa to start this new order. And so 852 long days after she had originally received that vision, she finally began her work among the poor. She went out into the slums of Calcutta by herself with no money and no followers. All she had received was about 3 months of some basic medical training, and then she went. You know, when we think about the life of Mother Teresa, we think about her story from this side of history and how today there are over 5,000 sisters that serve as missionaries of charity. They have 758 houses in 139 countries, all because of the work of Mother Teresa. That is amazing to think about that. But on that day, in 1948, it was just her. There were no other sisters, there were no houses, there was no money, there was no congregation. Just Mother Teresa in the slums of Calcutta. Where would you even begin? I mean, if you were dropped in the middle of the slums of Calcutta by yourself with no money and no supplies and you were told to make a difference, how would you get started? Well, Mother Teresa got started with one person at a time. She would walk through the slums of Calcutta and she would begin to visit the elderly or the sick people there. She would gather children together to teach them. She would just bring the joy and hope with the brightness of her smile and the warmth of her touch. She knew that she didn't have much to offer them. She didn't have any money, no materialistic things, but she could offer them a smile. She could give them a glass of water. And she loved these people. She did this with all of her heart. It's amazing how resourceful you can become when the person that you love is in need. So Mother Teresa would serve just with her whole heart, having nothing to offer but herself and her love and her Jesus. One day early on in her ministry, she saw a woman dying on the sidewalk. And so 4'10", Mother Teresa scoops her up, takes her into a hospital, hoping to get her some medical treatment. But the hospital refused to help her because they said she was so poor and her condition was beyond hope. And so that woman died that day with no medical care. That event inspired Mother Teresa to begin what she would call a home for the dying, a place that people who weren't able to receive medical care could be brought to be cared for and to be loved. It was an effort to restore human dignity to every single life, simply because human beings are made in the image of God and they are worthy of dignity. Her home for the dying was a beautiful thing. The poverty in Calcutta was so severe that she would find people in ditches on the side of the road. They'd be still alive, but just barely, people just passing them by. She found people in dumpsters. One time she pulled a man out of a dumpster, and her heart was broken when she heard him say, "My own son put me here." It was not an uncommon practice. Babies would be left in trash cans or on the side of the road, and she would bring them in. One man that she brought to the home for the dying, he was covered in filth and disease, very near death, and she bathed him. And she trimmed his nails, and she cut his beard, and gave him a warm cup of milk. And right as he was about to die, he looked up at her with the biggest smile on his face, and he just said, "I have lived on the streets like an animal, but I will die like an angel." Mother Teresa was undaunted in the face of this insurmountable task of serving the poor of Calcutta. Her philosophy was just, "I'm just one person. And I can serve one person." And that one person to her was the most important person in the world, because to her, that person was Jesus in his distressing disguise. You know, it doesn't seem like that much, all the little acts of kindness that she did. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal to bring a bowl of rice to one starving family when there are literally millions of starving people around you. But Mother Teresa did not measure her effectiveness by numbers or efficiency or the most strategic next step. Had she thought that way, she would have never picked up that first dying person off the streets of Calcutta. But history speaks for itself about the compound effect of this kind of irrational, remarkable love. A principle that I think we can all draw from her life is that this kind of remarkable love starts with individual care. It starts with the person who is right in front of you. What needs do they have? You think about your coworkers at work, and what real needs do they have in their life? Think about people in your own family. There may be someone in your own family who is very lonely right now, who is hurting deeply. You may have a classmate at school who is carrying burdens that you don't even know about. Do you take the time to look in their eyes and to hear their story, to offer them some type of tangible love from God? You know, we can get so concerned with living this remarkable life that we fail to ever make our mark. We can be so concerned about coming up with a strategic plan for how to make the biggest impact that we fail to impact the people right in front of us. Mother Teresa was this woman of global influence, and yet she cared for the person right in front of her. She believed in the power of individual care. Over the course of her life, Mother Teresa opened homes for tens of thousands of lepers. She became an advocate for adoption and spoke out against abortion. She cared for orphans. She fed the hungry. She opened homes for people dying of AIDS. The list could go on and on and on. The impact of this solitary life would be impossible to accurately account for. She was so painfully ordinary. She was born in obscurity. But God used this one life to do something remarkable because she gave him her resounding yes. It didn't start with something great. It never does. It always starts with something small. But this great movement began with one woman with remarkable love. One woman who said to God, I will refuse you nothing. I will do your bidding without delay. One time she said, I want to love Jesus as he has never been loved before. Isn't that beautiful? It's amazing. How does someone sustain a lifestyle like this? Not just for like a couple of days or even a few years, but for a lifetime. Mother Teresa was 18 when she became a missionary, and she was still going strong when she died. And you know, I see her life, I'm so inspired by it, but I don't know about you, sometimes I just feel like her life is just a little beyond me. I mean, anybody else kind of feeling like that? Like, yeah, that's pretty admirable, but I'm no Mother Teresa. And if you're feeling like that this morning, I mean, just imagine how I've been feeling the last 9 months. I mean, it has been heavy on me. So just to give you an example, a couple of weeks ago, I was getting my kids ready for bed, and I'm already in the throes of writing this message. So Mother Teresa is like my constant companion. And I'm getting my kids ready for bed, brushing Karis's hair in the bathroom. And I hear a ruckus out in the hallway. So I go to check on what's going on, and I see one of my kids literally has my other kid in a chokehold, like choking him. And I am like, I just react, right? Like I just respond, like stop choking him. And so I just do what I think of first, which is run over and just hit him across the shoulder with a brush in my hand. And he's like, what'd you do that for? And I was like, well, what are you doing that for? And I turn and I walk away from that, and I think Mother Teresa might have handled that a little differently. Not sure, but I think there may have been a little more tenderness involved. And I see the way that Mother Teresa lived, and I'm so inspired by that. And I think I want to be like that, but I also have this resigned discouragement that I'm no Mother Teresa. I could never be like that. And that's the feeling that really got me thinking, so how did she do it? How is it possible that Mother Teresa could so selflessly and consistently pour out her life for others, just that tender compassion that flowed from her? And the answer is, honestly, I don't know. I do not know how it is possible for a human being to live that way. But evidently it is. And I think it's important that we don't miss that. It is possible. I wish there was some magic bullet, some secret formula to instant godliness. But as I have studied her life, the biggest contributing factor, I believe, to the way that she lived was her relentless pursuit of Jesus, her radical love for him. Mother Teresa called herself a contemplative in the heart of the world. And I love that phrase. It explains so much to me about who she was, a contemplative in the heart of the world. When I think of a contemplative, I'm thinking the first image that pops in my head is like a monk that's living in isolation in a monastery, like spends his whole day in private prayer, probably taking a vow of silence. And, you know, I've got four kids at home, and we do not do silence very well. And so that kind of lifestyle is just not on the table for us. But Mother Teresa did not isolate herself. She did not spend her whole day in private prayer. She was an activist. There were children to be held and lepers to be touched and dying people to be loved. She took Jesus with her everywhere she went. She would regularly say, "Sisters, we are not social workers. We are here to give Jesus to the poor." She was a contemplative in the heart of the world. Every morning she would get up really early, like around 4:30, because at 5 o'clock she would meet with all of her sisters for Mass, and they would meet from 5 a.m. to 6:30 for prayer. She would just sit before Jesus. She would allow him to fill up her heart and refocus her attention, because she knew that she was going to be pouring out a lot that day. There were going to be a lot of distractions vying for her attention, and she could not sustain the call that God had on her life without prioritizing that personal relationship with him. People who knew her well said that she was constantly in prayer. You could see her riding through those busy streets of Calcutta in a rickshaw. And if you look closely, her fingers would be working their way down the rosary, just silently praying. So she met with Jesus every morning for that extended time. And then she took him with her everywhere she went that day. To me, that is the magic bullet. If there's any secret to having such single-minded devotion, it is this relentless pursuit of the heart of God. I don't know if today you feel painfully ordinary. Or maybe you're one of those types that is like ready to take on changing the world. But this right here is where it starts for all of us. None of us are going to do great things for God without staying connected very closely to the heart of God. We have to pursue and prioritize our pursuit of God and stay connected to his heart, because this kind of remarkable love flows from an intimacy with God. This is available to all of us. This same God that Mother Teresa served is available to us. I don't know if you realize this, but your alarm clock would also go off really early if you wanted it to. If you wanted to get up early to pursue your relationship with God, you could. Like, you've got the same amount of time in the day that she did. You could pursue him. You could become intimate in your personal relationship with God. If it became the driving force of your life, if you wanted it, it is theirs. It is yours for the taking. And none of us, I know you've got a crazy job that requires lots of hours out of you. I know you've got a busy life. You've got kids coming out of your ears. We've all got a million excuses for why we can't prioritize this relationship with God. But God is never going to do the unexplainable through someone who keeps giving him excuses. If you want it, you have to pursue it. It is yours for the taking. One of Mother... One of Mother Teresa's favorite verses, one of her life verses, was found in Matthew 25. And it's where Jesus says to people, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." And she had this five-finger prayer that she would teach to anyone who would listen. She'd teach it to kids or poor people, politicians, celebrities even. And she would take their hand in her hand, and she'd pull out their thumb and say, "You." And then the next people, "Did it to me. You did it to me." It was like her tangible reminder that every person she touched, every human interaction she had, it was as if she was doing it to Jesus himself. That verse comes from a passage of scripture where Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, what heaven is going to be like for us one day, for those of us who follow Jesus, who've accepted him as our Savior. And many things about heaven will be correlated to how we interacted with people here on earth. It's a little bit sobering to read this passage and to realize how much of our experience in heaven will correlate with the way that we interacted with other people on earth. Listen to this passage. It says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And these people are a little confused because they're like, "I don't remember ever seeing you naked or in prison. Like, when did that happen?" And Jesus says back to them, "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." Mother Teresa took Jesus' words very literally, that as she loved that poor person, she was loving Jesus himself. As she washed the wounds of a leper, she was washing the distressing Jesus. As she took in that unwanted child, she was literally giving shelter to Jesus, for whom there had been no room at the inn. "You did it to me" was a driving principle of her life. She saw Jesus in every person that she met, and her love for him was so intense that she was willing to do whatever it took to love him well. Listen, I don't know what kind of call God has on your life today. I would be rather surprised if God asked all of us to move to Calcutta to serve the poorest of the poor. But one thing is sure, he does have a call on your life. There is some type of divine plan that he has written for you, And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what kind of influence he wants to give you. But listen, the scope of the influence and the size of the platform, that is not our job. Our job is to say yes to him and to be faithful in the day to day. We can let him worry about the platform. Mother Teresa was faithful as a school teacher for 19 years. That's like a whole career of faithfulness, just in the day in and the day out. And I want us to think about that, to meditate on that today, because many of you are serving in what feels like obscurity. Many of you are doing the monotony, the mundane of life, day to day, just living that obscure life. But you have no idea what God has right around the corner for you. And listen, your faithfulness in this season is laying the foundation for your fruitfulness in the next. If you don't get this right, you don't get to do that. So your faithfulness today matters. And did you realize that Mother Teresa served the poor in basically utter obscurity for about 20 years before the world knew her name? Before there was any documentary about her work. In those early days, there was no camera following her around. There was no Instagram feed announcing every good deed that she did. It's a lot easier to be noble when somebody's looking at you, isn't it? Like, if you ever come to church on a Sunday and you see me or Andy like yelling at one of our kids, you can know that it has been a very bad day. Because when we're here and all eyes are on us, you know, it's like smiles and hugs, right? But the real test is when we go home and I'm getting them lunch, or I'm getting them out the door for school, or I'm putting them to bed. Am I showing them the same tender compassion that I would want to show to Jesus? How are you doing with that? How are you doing loving those people in your life that have nothing to offer you back, even when no one is watching? Mother Teresa served faithfully, basically in obscurity, for nearly 40 years before the world knew about her work. She was not trying to build her platform. She was too busy living her remarkable life. You know, the temptation when we hear a message like this is to think to ourselves, I'm no Mother Teresa. I could never be like that. And I get it, because that's how I've been feeling for the past 9 months. But today I want to challenge that thought, because even though one part of me feels that way, isn't there anything that just rises up inside of you that says, but I want to be more like that. I want to live that kind of selfless life. I want to give God my yes, no matter what he asks of me. Isn't there anything in you that just rises up and says, I want to be more like that? Listen, saying I could never be like that, it's really an excuse. It's really letting ourselves off the hook. It's really a statement of unbelief that God could never make me like that. Listen, Mother Teresa, she was a human just like we are. Don't overlook that. There was nothing spectacular about her circumstances or her personality. So today, instead of being resigned that I could never be like that, what if we became resolved to say, I'm gonna try. I may not be able to alleviate world hunger, but I could feed one hungry person. I may not be able to open an orphanage, but maybe I could make room in my house for a foster kid, or I could bring in an orphan in adoption that needs a loving family. I may not be able to befriend every lonely person in this world, but maybe I could host a life group and create some real community among a few people here at South Bay. Listen, you can't live out God's call on Mother Teresa's life, but you have everything you need to live out God's call on your life. And let me tell you one thing. His plans for your life, his bidding, is better than your plans. I believe that with all my heart. I have built my whole life on that premise, that his plans for your life, if you will say yes to them, will be more impactful and in the end more satisfying than any plans that you can come up with on your own. I want to invite you to stand with me today. And as we close our time together, I want to bring you to a point of decision, because you've got one life to live. And every day you've got one less day than you did the day before. So moments like this matter. Moments like this can make a difference because it can change the whole trajectory of your life in the best way possible. Today, the eyes of the Lord are roaming this earth, looking for a heart who is steadfast, looking for eyes that are on Him, who are devoted to Him, who are ready to stop making excuses for why we can't spend time with Him and pursue His heart and say, God, I want You to do something remarkable through my life. I'm ready to set aside my own dreams. I want to pursue Your dreams because they're better, and I want that. And so I am going to read three statements that summarize the private vows of Mother Teresa. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read them, and I want you to make a decision. Do I want to live that way? And if you do, if it resonates inside your heart, I want you to repeat it back out loud to me. I'll read it. You repeat it back. These are not vows that I think any of us could live with 100% perfection. But this is a desire of our hearts. And today we are going to stand united as a group of brothers and sisters, and we are resolved to see this happen in our life. The first vow says this: Jesus, I will love You as You have never been loved before. Jesus, I will love You as You have never been loved before. Jesus, I will refuse You nothing. Jesus, I will do Your bidding without delay. May it be true. May it be true of us. And pray with me. Jesus, we are here because You are worthy, because Your name is beautiful, Your name is powerful, there is none like You. There is no cause that we could give our life to that would be better than You. There is no kingdom that we could build that would be more fulfilling than Your kingdom. And so today, God, would You just take all of us, our very unremarkable, our very ordinary lives, and do something beautiful with them for Your glory? Would You make us remarkable for Your kingdom, God, as we give our resounding yes to You? Would You do what You want with our very one life? God, it is Yours. We give it to You, and we worship Your name today.